Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk about growing and maturing as an umpire, continued learning. Like, how do you actually build yourself up here? What's the bodybuilding version of being this umpire, right? How do we hit the gym as an umpire?
Yeah. So a lot of freestyle talk here. There's going to be some conversation back and forth between Pete and I. And again, we would encourage you to please engage with us. And we'll try to start posting some things on the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Facebook page when new clinics come and things like that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that toward the end of the episode. But the idea of growing and maturing as an umpire would first make the assumption that you want to do that.
Right.
So there's plenty of folks out there that have gone out, they've taken their class, they do a game or two, you know, a week during the high school season, and they're good with that. And, you know, they go home and raise their kids and, you know, kiss their wife, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what they want to do. And there's absolutely, we need those. The sport needs people like that will go out and just take some games, you know, and get it done and do a great job. We need that. And then there's umpires out there that would envision seeing themselves on the biggest stage in
the softball. National stage or the world stage.
The world stage even. So as we indicated in a previous episode, this is our sport here in America. So I personally believe that the biggest stage there is the Women's College World Series Division I.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. That's the biggest stage. But we do go around the world, you know, and some of our umpire friends have been.
Yeah, Pan Am Games, Olympics. Yeah,
absolutely. And good for them. But in order to do that, they had to grow and mature as an umpire.
Yeah. And there's a difference, like you said. So there's the thought of, I'm in technology, right? And there's a phrase that someone who is one of my peers has come up with. They call them 501 developers or dark matter developers. So there's a segment, no matter what you're in, where there's going to be a group of people who are very loud, who are the people that seem to give their opinions a lot. They talk a lot. They're in public a lot. And then there's a lot of people who are doing things behind the scenes. So a 501 developer means that at 501, they're out the door. No matter what's going on, they're out. It's their 9 to 5. They punch the clock. Time to go. And then there are people who, even if they leave work at 5 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, they're at home and they're doing this. That's right. They're programming. They're honing their skills. They're doing things to get better. The same thing, dark matter developers are people who are like, maybe there are a lot of people, there are the latest and greatest technologies that people are always talking about that drive the apps that you guys use on your phone. And then there are people who you don't know, who you've never heard of, who are 70 years old and want to retire, but the companies won't let them retire because they're building these legacy systems that aren't sexy. You don't see them on the front page of anything, but they're maintaining these COBOL mainframe systems that literally keep your life going.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like there's the flashy, like in your face stuff, and then there's literally the bedrock, the people that we need, the core people. So anything we're saying here about growing or anything we suggest that doesn't feel like something you might want to do, that doesn't mean we're calling you a jerk. It doesn't mean we're calling you useless or worthless or not welcome in our society of umpires. What we're just talking about people who maybe have a lot of ambition here and want to grow to certain points. You know, I want to be as good as I can be. I want to be considered the top of the level at what I'm doing, right? I want to be the best rec ball umpire out there. I want to be the best high school umpire out there. I want to be the best college umpire out there. I want to be on the world stage. There's levels to this. And some people, just like instruments or any other thing in the world, tons and tons of work and things like that go into making you world class. So that's all we're talking about is how do you approach whatever your peak is that you want to hit or you can hit because of your age, your ability, your whatever, your time that you have outside of what you're willing to trade, work-life balance, any of those other things. We just want to talk about how to get there, right?
Yeah, exactly. And to your point, Pete, like I said a moment ago, I think that the top, the penultimate, the place to be is Oklahoma City for mm-hmm. the Division I Women's College World Series. Not on my target list. I will not get there. So in my 50s, way less overweight now, by the way, listeners. I'm doing a good job of trying to cut weight because I have my goal or my aspiration in college softball umpiring is to someday, and hopefully soon before I get too old to be able to do it at all, is to get a D3 regional. I'd love to get a D3 regional. I think that's my probably my ceiling just because of physical ability, age, that kind of thing. I look at the umpires in the Power Five, well, Power Four, I guess, whatever it is now. And I think, wow, really great, highly experienced umpires. There was a really cool Facebook post. Somebody said, who is this guy behind the plate? I don't know if you saw that one. And it's like, he slides his leg in every time. He's got his hand out. He does the exact same movement every time. I'm like, dude, yeah. That's Smokey. He's like one of the best in the world. And so, yeah, he was doing, I think it was the Oklahoma game. But, and we're very fortunate again here in Central Ohio, we've got some of the best in the world. So, but that's not me. Right? I'm not going to get there. Started too late, you know, whatever. I could make all the excuses in the world. So I want to go as high as I can go. And so in order to do that, I need to grow and mature as a game manager, I believe, and just get in front of the right people and show the right stuff, right? And so for me, how did I start? I started, same as you, Pete, with an umpire class from Mike, one of the best in the world. Then just started umpiring games and said, well, how am I going to get really good at this? And what we got from any clinician you ever talk to, it's all about mechanics and rules. Well, so mechanics first, be in the right place, you know, when you're expected to be there. The better coaches know where you're supposed to be, and they know when you're not where you are supposed to be to make a call, and then know the rules. So for me, it was coaching helped me a ton with the rules. You know, anybody that knew me went back in my days of coaching 10U. I knew the USA rules. And when we went to a U-Trip tournament, I knew the difference between the U-Trip rules and the USA rules. I knew it.
Yeah.
And so rules knowledge for me was something that was already there. But I would encourage anybody who wants to grow and mature as an umpire, make sure you know the rules. Mm-hmm. Knowing the rules of the game is very important. And then second, knowing the mechanics. And so depending on how you learn, you know, the umpire manuals for whatever sanction you're in, the NC2A manual is the CCA manual. It's got three umpire system in there and two umpire system in it. The USA manual has both. The USA actually also has videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So you can watch those videos in there. If you use the PDF version of the manual,
it links to the videos.
Yeah, it has a link to the videos there. So depending on how you learn there. And then also, you know, there's a brand new one now, 2024 manual for NFHS. And so I would say get in there and learn that. But beyond that, Pete, if you're not a book learner, what can you do?
Yeah. So listening to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball podcast is obviously a wonderful idea. But no, there are lots of places where people do discuss these rules. So if you think about, as far as well as mechanics as well, but if you think about what is available to you, just in our area, there are multiple clinics that are available. Some of them are low cost or no cost. Our umpire group here, the Central Ohio Umpires, put on free clinics for you to go to and learn mechanics and stuff. As well as there are, for the NFHS season, they have meetings several times a year, plus some online meetings, where they literally deep dive into these rules. So some of the magic of the rule book, and maybe why some people may not be able to follow it as well, is it is written in a certain way. It's like stereo instructions. Like you have to, or putting together IKEA furniture. You put together enough IKEA furniture, you start to be able to understand it easily. You kind of intuit what's going to happen next, or you know what these parts are, how they're going to go. It's the same way with the rules. So you see enough people dissect the rules, especially if you're watching, you go to four meetings. You've got to go to four meetings a year to be able to umpire high school softball in the area. Plus there's two other online meetings. And so you can get
State meeting too.
Yeah, the state meeting. So you can get several meetings, and in them, people are breaking down. They'll take rule six and they'll talk through it or do whatever. So you can see, and you have different people explaining it, how different minds are approaching these rules and seeing it and explaining it. And if you go to these things often enough, you're going to be, the rules are going to just start to kind of just soak in. If you pay good attention, listen to what they're saying, engage in the discussion. That's a way you can get around just only reading the book.
Yeah. The clinics are fantastic. I'll tell you, there's a call out here to a friend of mine who is a rules interpreter for one of the, it's actually down in Circleville. So not the hub, but the one in Circleville. And I can't tell you how many, it was way more than me. I think he went to like six clinics this year. So I saw him at the state clinic. I know that he went to the plate clinic that Mike and Todd and Linda put on. I know that he went to the hub clinic. I know that he went to their own down there. I think Jose was doing that one. So five, six things. And this guy's a rules interpreter. He was going to learn. You know, get better. So fantastic stuff. I'd loved going to the clinics. For me, I learned the most probably in my most recent clinic was the one that was put on by Victor for the NCAA up in Marion last year. So learned a lot there. Learned a few things from Jerry Fick and his state clinic this year. And I've been umpiring for a long time. So you can always learn different things. So clinics, definitely clinics. And then also I would encourage you, if you want to grow and mature, there's two things that you need to do. And there's a little bit of controversy over these, especially in my own personal career right now. One of them is to go as far as you can go in your high school, right? You want to get, here in Ohio, we do it on a point system. You get points by being voted by your peers. You get points for being voted by your assigners, the athletic directors, the coaches of the games that you did. So you get points. And then you'll go on to work sectionals, districts, regionals, you know, and then hopefully states. Mm-hmm. And that is definitely something that will help you to grow and mature as an umpire. And it'll also help put you in front of coaches that are going to be intense. So we talked in a very recent episode about, you know, a varsity and a JV series that I just did, you know, high school varsity and JV series, very laid back, very, you know, the coaches are great people, you know, we're out here for the girls having a good time. It was a regular non-league game throughout the season and just very laid back, completely different than the regional that if I lose this, my team goes home and they don't get a shot at going to states. Right. Yep. So you're going to see a lot more intense coaches. And, you know, I can remember watching Young Bailey's team up at the state championship in Toledo, right? That's the right place. And actually Terrell was on the plate, and the coach did not like how tight Terrell's strike zone was. And boy, she was kind of letting him have it. He had to be a little bit patient with her, you know, and I think during a regular season, probably wouldn't be that patient.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's enough, coach, you know, type thing. But you have to realize the situation that you're in, right? So I think that will help you grow and mature as an umpire. So I haven't had that opportunity to go umpire at that level because I coached, right? And so that's why I say there's a little strife in my career about that. I went the other direction, however. I umpire in USA softball and go to nationals, and I would encourage everyone to please do that if you want to grow and mature as an umpire. First of all, you have to go to the national clinic once every 5 years in order to be eligible to go to nationals, and so you'll learn some great stuff from some great umpires there. The USA umpire staff puts that on, and they're some of the most experienced umpires in the world. And so
this important point too. If the highest level of umpires think it's important for you to attend a clinic at least once every 5 years, you know, this they're talking about the most experienced people. They're talking about whatever. They know that it's important to go. And these same people, like you mentioned, that guy, the rules interpreter, going to continued rules meetings, and they're saying these experienced umpires go to these meetings, work on the front, just like the best musicians warm up with scales still, and they do the basic fingering and things like that. It's makes sense that you're gonna do that. And I think the fact that they make that a requirement to participate at that level tells you just how important it is, and, you know, especially for you as you're growing.
Yeah, exactly. And then once you've learned what you're going to learn at that nationals clinic, then go to nationals, because the other thing that happens at nationals that you don't get during the high school season, at least we don't here in Central Ohio, you are evaluated at that tournament. So depending on the UICs and how many assistants they have, and, you know, I can tell you that at one of them, I was watched every single game. Well, and during the Alliance one in Oklahoma, every game we were being evaluated, every game. And it had a post game with an experienced umpire. You get the best tips there. If you think about going to a clinic, Pete, and they're going to teach their agenda. Mm-hmm. Here's the agenda that I have, and I'm going to teach this agenda. And I've got 35, 40 people here in this clinic. And so I'm going to teach this agenda to these 35, 40 people. When you go to a nationals event where you're being evaluated and then post game with them, they watched you.
Right.
They didn't come out to teach you how to chase the girl up first base one third of the way, because you do that every time. No, they came out to talk to you about, well, maybe you're in your holding zone, you know, because that's an area on the field. You know, maybe in this situation, David, you want to be maybe 10 steps closer, you know, to third base in your holding zone than you typically get, because, you know, you're old and fat and you got bad knees, so you're going to have to get your butt up there.
Yeah, because think about, you know, in a clinic, even in the best scenario, they break you into smaller groups, you do whatever, you're going to watch the person do it, you're going to watch the 9 other people in your group do it, and then you're going to do it. At best, the clinician saw me do 4 reps.
Right.
In order to do that, 40 reps had to be taken, right? All 10 people in my line. So that's taking a lot of time. In this case, so I'm only getting feedback on 4 reps here, 4 reps at the next station, 4 reps at the next station. I'm still getting osmosis of like everything being around me and like watching it over and over from different people and watching them get feedback and stuff. But in this case, you're talking about 100% every rep you had. So if, you know, there were 100 pitches in the game, they saw you call 100 pitches, not the 5 pitches that I called against questionable pitching in the clinic from the pitcher who's been throwing for 2 hours, right? You know, that she just wants to go home too.
That's right.
You know?
Yep. So I think that'll help tremendously. You know, USA Softball does a fantastic job of trying to advance their umpires that way. I would guess that the USSSA organization does something similar. I know that, you know, just depending on where you're at in the country.
You know, down in Florida, they got that Space Coast thing or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the Space Coast and Indiana, just even, you know, the next state over from us. USA Softball is almost non-existent in Indiana, and UTRIP is everything. In fact, the, you know, the Alliance Fast Pitch, when I went out to Oklahoma for, I think that was 12U, if I'm not mistaken, like the 18U Alliance was in Indiana, and it was UTRIP. It was run by UTRIP. So, I mean, they had the best of the best of the best, you know, there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, in the one that we're going to in on July 4th out in Colorado, they use NCAA mechanics out there because it's a clinic for them. So some of the best softball is going to be out there. But going to they do a fantastic job. So take advantage of that. Those aren't free. The USA clinics are not free, but the ones that are put on here in Central Ohio by the Hub, probably your local association, wherever you're listening from, has the opportunity to have free clinics. If they don't, they're not super expensive. Take a game fee and go do a clinic.
Yeah. So I think this is important. So if you think about, there's two pieces I have about treating this like a professional career. And this is the first one. And that is, you're earning money to do this, right? And so of the money you earn, if I'm a small business, I'm an independent contractor, right? That's how I have to do my taxes here as an umpire. When they pay me, I get a 1099. You know, so I'm an independent contractor doing this umpiring. A certain portion of that money needs set aside to make sure I get paid my taxes. A certain portion of that money is to refresh and renew my equipment and uniforms. And a certain part of that money should be a training budget. There are lots of good free resources. I mentioned that, you know, in Central Ohio, there's free clinics. There's meetings you go to that are free or that are just part of you, you know, having paid your dues and things like that. But you should have a certain budget to spend on things, whether that's certain training material or these paid clinics. Because when you have paid clinics, that means those people are probably paying their clinicians who are going to be the best and the brightest and all those things. And you're going to have maybe even a smaller, more intimate setting because you've added that price barrier. If it was $5, you'd have less people show up than if they're, but they'd be more dedicated people because they're, you know, they're in skin in the game. So definitely consider that, right? I mean, I know there are some people that might be treating this just like a second job and they need this money to, you know, to help make ends meet. But I would just encourage you, if at all possible, try to take a percentage of your money and put it towards a training budget.
If you want to grow and mature.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Like you said, if that's your goal. And the other half would be to get yourself. So think about, so as far as professional growth in the trades, there's the idea of apprenticeships and journeymen and masters, you know, moving up through. If I think of this at the kind of the trade level, you know, apprentices, sometimes they make money. Sometimes they're doing stuff for free. Or like you think about internships, which could be free or paid in other industries. You know, we talked about this before and this part's a little controversial, but seeing reps is important. Getting practice and doing that with someone else, which means you may get paid not very much or you may not get paid at all. If you want to be the best, it's for what's your rationale for it. Getting the reps is important no matter how you do it. And so if that's, hey, can I add myself to your game? And we talked about that for 3-man. You want to you want to work at state level. Our associations do put on a 3-man clinic right as tournament time comes up to make yourself get ready for that. But how great would it have been for you to have done 2 or 3 3-man games in advance?
Right.
So you have some other people who are interested in that as well. They're getting paid for their games, right? And so you tack yourself on as a third unpaid person. And maybe they return the favor too. They come and they be a third wheel. So you know, umpires A and B are getting paid, C is free. And next time A and C are getting paid and B is free. That's and right. then B and C, you know, like that. So I think that's part of it too, is like any chance you get yourself on that diamond to get some work in and get some feedback from your people and get experience and see different kinds of softball and different levels of softball.
Yep, for sure. Yep, that's it. And I think the last piece that I would say about growing and maturing is that if you want to do it, after your game, find something from your game that you had a question about. Whether it's a mechanic, I'm not sure what to do in this situation, or if it's a rule that you just really weren't sure of, then when you get home and you put your uniforms in the washing machine, you know it's going to take 20 minutes for that thing to do its thing. Get the books out and find what it was that you had the question about. You know, in your post game with your partner, you know, if you guys are doing a good post game, you know, you might look it up right there on the field, which would be the best. That way both of you get it. But if you do it, do it. And if you do it at home, that's fine too, but do it, you know, go look it up. And I can tell you that, I'm trying to remember now the last thing that I did have to look up. Oh, we looked it up. I was pretty sure I knew it, but my partner was not crystal clear on who had the tag up responsibility at third base on a fly ball, whether that was in this NCAA mechanics. And that matters because no matter how many runners there are on base, the plate umpire always has the runner at third. And we weren't sure about that. I was 99.95.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I knew it. But so we looked it up. And now that partner nor I will ever be confused about that. Ever. Because we had it happen to us and we looked it up together. So I would encourage you to do that. And that'll help you to grow tremendously. It's amazing to me how many people for some of what we would think are the most standard things.
Mm-hmm.
They say, man, that confuses me. And if you work multiple sanctions, it can be different. Runners at first and second, who's got second, who's got first? Anytime there's multiple runners on in some sanctions, the plate umpire has a lead runner. That's not true for NCAA necessarily. Sometimes it is,
yeah,
but not always. So it's easy to get confused. So anyway, I think that's it. So the books are very important. The clinics that are available to you are very important.
Mm-hmm.
And then committing to making sure that you know the rules and know the mechanics are super important.
Get reps, get feedback, have a mentor if you can. Find an experienced umpire who is willing. If you're an experienced umpire, be willing. Put some stuff in. There are still so many things you can learn by being that experienced umpire. Because there are times when I've had to explain things in my professional life, even where someone younger has asked me a question. And like I knew the thing, or I kind of knew it, or I would do the right thing probably without thinking, but I didn't necessarily understand it. And then having to explain it or do, you know, having the discussion, I understand it now at a deeper level than I ever had. Or even there where you said, you're pretty sure about that, but you looked it up and you've now created this tent pole in your life that you're never going to forget that. The same way I'm never going to forget how to spell encyclopedia because I once got missed one out of 20 on a spelling test and my dad made me write it like 50 times. And I'll never forget E-N-C-Y-C-L-O-P-E-D-I-A. I will never forget that in my life. Yeah, I can rattle it off as quick as I can because of repetition, because of there's a tent pole in my life that thing happened and I can remember it. I know where I was. I can tell you what the exact address of the place I was laying on the floor writing those out.
Yep.
You know, so you make those and by pouring into somebody, you can have that explanation and understand it yourself maybe even deeper than you could have.
Right, for sure. So I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, we would utilize the new Facebook page, Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball, on Facebook to post opportunities for people to go to clinics here in and around Central Ohio as they come up. And I would encourage others to post theirs in whatever circles that they have so that umpires who do want to grow and mature in their careers as umpires will have at least access to those opportunities. So. And I think that's what we have for today, Pete.
Yep, absolutely.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Till next time.